I want to speak of those who are under the direction of the great devotees, chanting the holy name of the unlimited, who has unlimited potency. The personality of Godhead, unlimited in potency and transcendental by attributes, is called the Ananta, unlimited.
The Dvija Bandhu, purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The Dvija Bandhu, or the less intelligent, uncultured men, born of higher castes, put forward many arguments against the lower caste men becoming brahmanas in this life. They argue that birth in a family of shudras, or less than shudras, is made possible by one's previous sinful acts, and that one therefore has to complete the terms of disadvantages due to lower birth. And to answer these false logicians, Srimad Bhagavatam asserts that one who chants the holy name of the Lord under the direction of a pure devotee can at once get free from the disadvantages due to a lower caste birth. A pure devotee of the Lord does not commit any offense while chanting the holy name of the Lord. There are 10 different offenses in the chanting of the holy name of the Lord. To chant the holy name of the Lord under the direction of a pure devotee is offenseless chanting. Offenseless chanting of the holy names of the Lord is transcendental, and therefore, such chanting can at once purify one from the effects of all kinds of previous sins. This offenseless chanting indicates that one has fully understood the transcendental nature of the holy name and has thus surrendered unto the Lord. Transcendentally, the holy name of the Lord and the Lord Himself are identical, being absolute. The holy name of the Lord is as powerful as the Lord. The Lord is the all-powerful personality of Godhead, and He has innumerable names which are all non-different from Him and are equally powerful also. In the last word of the Bhagavad Gita, the Lord asserts that one who surrenders fully unto Him is protected from all sins by the grace of the Lord. Since His name and He Himself are identical, the holy name of the Lord can protect the devotee from all effect of sin. The chanting of the holy name of the Lord can undoubtedly deliver one from the disadvantages of a lower caste birth. The Lord's unlimited power is extended on and on by the unlimited expansion of the devotees and incarnations, and thus every devotee of the Lord and incarnations also can be equally surcharged with the potency of the Lord. Since the devotee is surcharged with the potency of the Lord, even fractionally, the disqualification due to lower birth cannot stand in the way.
Kutapana pranato namatasya mahatamaikanda parayanasya yonanta shakti bhagavan ananto mahatganatvat Yamanantamahu. This reminds us of the arrangement that Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur organized Namhata, where the marketplace of the holy name, and his idea was that establish different shops, shopkeepers, and where the holy name is being chanted and where it's being distributed. So this is the plan of the Lord, that especially in this age, Kali Kale Nama Rupe Krishna Avatar, in the age of Kali, the Lord incarnates in the form of His holy name. This is such a bad age. Bad, when we say bad, we don't, I mean, it's just the age that's full of quarrel and hypocrisy and many other qualities that degrade the living entities. So, the process of chanting is perfect because one can invoke the Lord anywhere. Doesn't have to be a Brahmin that can worship in the temple. Doesn't have to be a Kshatriya that has so much wealth that he can organize big sacrifices. Doesn't have to be a yogi that can meditate. Kṛte Dhyayato Vishnu. That means in the Kṛta Yuga or Satya Yuga, Golden Age, the process was meditation, Dhyayato. And Tretayam Yajitamakai, in Treta Yuga, sacrifices. Dvaparaya Parichayayam, deity worship in Dvapara Yuga. And in Kali Yuga, Kalo, Tad Hari Kirtana, chanting the name of Hari. Now, interesting point here is about the 10 offenses to the chanting of the holy name. Here is a nice definition. To chant the holy name under the direction of a pure devotee is offenseless chanting. So that gives the importance of chanting. So what does that mean? It means that everyone has to be initiated. Because otherwise, how can one say that he's following, he's chanting under the direction of a pure devotee? That's what it means. Adho Guruvashrayam, in the beginning, one must take shelter of the spiritual master. This is stated by Rupa Goswami. And take initiation from him, follow his instructions. Initiation means the beginning, it doesn't mean the end. And one shouldn't accept initiation just as a matter of fashion, because others have done it. Or just to say that I have a guru. But the student should accept, fall down flat, pranipatena, ready to follow the instructions explicitly given by the spiritual master. Otherwise, it becomes a mockery just to accept a spiritual master in name only, but not actually care for following his instruction. But if one does follow the instructions of the spiritual master, then, and he chants the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, then he'll gradually become free from any offenses. What are the 10 offenses? What's the first offense? Raise your hand, yeah?
To consider the names of the demigods, such as Lord Shiva or Lord Rama, to be equal to or independent of the holy names of Lord Vishnu.
That's the second offense. Let's give it a microphone.
Blaspheme the devotees of the Lord.
Blaspheme the devotees of the Lord have dedicated their lives for the propagation of the holy name of the Lord all over the world. Third offense? Raise your hand. Over here.
Disobey the orders of spiritual master.
Or to consider him an ordinary man.
Or to consider him an ordinary person.
Fourth. Or for someone who hasn't said yet.
To blaspheme the Vedic literature or any literature in pursuance of the Vedic version.
Okay, fifth offense.
নামের অর্থ আরোপ
means
say it again.
Namir artha arab. The holy name is Esan.
Consider the. Is this someone else?
Consider the glories of chanting the holy name of the Lord to be imagination.
Okay, sixth offense.
Give some mundane interpretation of the chanting of the holy name.
Seventh offense.
Commit sinful activities on the strength of chanting holy name.
Yes. Two. And eighth offense.
Say the chanting of Hare Krishna to be one of the auspicious ritualistic activities offered in the Vedas as fruit of activities or karma kanda.
Ninth.
To instruct a faithless person about the glories of the holy name.
And tenth.
To not have complete faith in the chanting of the holy name and to maintain material attachments. Even after understanding so many instructions on this matter, it's also an offense to be inattentive while chanting.
So these are the 10 offenses, and the spiritual master engages the disciple in such a way that he doesn't commit these offenses. Just like he's taught, don't blaspheme the devotees. We're taught to do that, to be very careful. By hearing, we learn. And we read so many examples of those who did blaspheme, such as Gopal Chapala. He was a Brahmana, and he blasphemed Haridas Thakur, and he got leprosy. And his nose fell off, his fingers fell off. What do you think of that, Ramachandra? It was all right. Uh-huh. Yes. So this spiritual life is a razor's edge. Shurasya dara nishitam duratyaya. And one has to be careful in practicing spiritual life because it's like a sharp razor. If one is not careful when he's shaving, then if he's inattentive, he can have serious blood. Question here?
We can avoid these 10 offenses if we know them, but if we don't know the 10 offenses, we cannot avoid. We know that in some ISKCON temples they chant every morning before chanting since there are all the 10 offenses. But here we not chant these 10
offenses. You can also read books outside of the recitation. You're also supposed to read books like Nectar of Devotion, learn them. You don't need to say them every day necessarily to learn them. Anyway, you've been in the movement how many years now?
7.
You don't know the 10 offenses? So that's a problem. You should know them.
I know the 10 offenses.
Okay, so if you know, then very good. Then practice, that's the point. Following them. That's, in ISKCON, we're taught like that, how to follow. More than reciting them is to, more important than simply reciting them, is to follow them. And one of the big, like there's so many offenses being committed on these news sites going on. Oh, there's a perfect example. Simply blasphemy. We have to be very careful. In other words, the devotees who've dedicated their lives for the propagation of the holy name are very dear to Lord Krishna, and he doesn't appreciate if they're blasphemed. So we should be careful and not committing sins. For example, maintaining material attachments. Let's say we're attached to doing some material thing, like drinking or gambling or smoking, illicit sex. These are material things. One should give them up. If one holds on to these things, then his chanting will be offensive. He will not be able to make progress. That's why we go on advising devotees, give up your material attachments, because if we don't give them up, then how can we expect to make progress? Our chanting will be infested with these. The chanting is very powerful, but one has to chant without offenses in order to get the full benefit. Even if one chants with offenses, he'll eventually become purified, but it takes a long time. When Prabhupada was in Hawaii, he was speaking to some devotees, and the question came up, what about those who chant Hare Krishna but they smoke marijuana also? So Prabhupada said, yes, eventually, but it'll take thousands of years or lifetimes to become purified that way. Eventually they will, because the chanting is so powerful. But it's like trying to start to light a piece of wood that's wet. If you try to light a piece of wood that's wet, it'll light eventually, but it takes a long time. Question?
So the question from Manchester, UK. How is the material nature connected with Krishna?
Well, just like separated material energy, Krishna says, Bhumir apolnalo vayu kammano badhir evacha ahankara vimurdama ahankara itiyame bina prakritir ashtada. So it's under his direction. It, first of all, it emanates from him. That's one way. So he's the owner of it. He's the originator of it. And he's also he's pervading it. Andantarasta paramanu chayantarastam. He's within every atom of it. He's in every atom. He's controlling it. He owns it. And in Bhagavad Gita he explains that he's all pervading through his material energy. He's everywhere present. Vasudeva Sarvamiti. Just like, for example, how is a man related to his automobile? Well, he owns it, he controls it, he maintains it, he fixes it, he uses it, he drives in it, he carries things and he uses it for his purpose. So that automobile is his energy, you could say. Or how is a king related to his kingdom? He manages it, he preserves it, in that way.
This is a question, we don't know where it's from. What is the biological component that makes Krishna conscious pleasurable to humans?
Biological refers to what? The body? I guess that when we speak of biology, we refer to the body. Actually, it's not biological, because biologically, the body is not alive. So the body can't experience pleasure. So what's happening is, Krishna consciousness is activity of the soul, and therefore it gives pleasure to the soul. Chidatmani, Satyananda Chidatmani, the chanting, Padena so Param Vidhiyate, this chanting of the holy name and Krishna consciousness is spiritual activity. And spiritual activity is what the soul thrives on. That's the food of the soul. But when the soul gets pleasure, Satchit Ananda, then that's what's the pleasure potency. It's not that the devotional service has to go through the senses. It doesn't require it, because one can experience transcendental pleasure without even a material body, without material senses. The spiritual body is the actual vehicle for getting transcendental pleasure. Ataksi Krishna Namadi na pavet karam indriyai sevan muki hi jiva do svayam eva spuratyata. It means the senses cannot actually perceive transcendental pleasure, but the soul can achieve it through devotional service. Devotional service is not a biological activity, it's a transcendental activity. It's on the spiritual platform. Therefore, when we get pleasure, it's not coming through the senses, it's coming from Krishna directly. Krishna is giving pleasure to the living entity by his name. It's like it's when we read in the Srimad Bhagavatam how when Krishna, for example, when he appeared someplace or he entered some city, all the people would come. It was the greatest festival. Krishna is just to see him or to think about him or to hear his name or to hear him speak or to even smell the aroma from Krishna. We're reading in the Garga Samhita how Srimati Radharani, when she can smell, when she smells the aroma of Krishna, she becomes very enlivened, because the aroma of Krishna is so blissful. It wakes up the transcendental nature of the soul. Anything about Krishna, his form, his name, or the prasadam, or the incense, the kumaras, they became pure devotees when they smelled the incense that was offered to the lotus feet of the Lord. Or the tulsi, they smelled the tulsi that was at the lotus feet of the Lord. So everything in relationship with Krishna enlivens the soul and gives the soul pleasure.
This is the question from me. Sometimes there's some doubt that enters my mind, like when I hear that the four kumaras, just by smelling the incense, were changed so much, because every day I'm smelling the incense, but I'm not having such a great effect. So what?
But their position is unique. First of all, it says in the Srimad Bhagavatam that they had performed volumes of austerities. They were completely perfect celibates. They had studied the Vedas extensively, volumes of austerities, studied the Vedas. They've been living since the beginning of creation, 155 trillion years. And they voluntarily remained Naishtika Brahmacharis. And they were so powerful, they got the benediction that they would never grow beyond the age of 5 in their bodily, their biological. They didn't want to experience any biological pleasures other than spiritual pleasure. Therefore, they remained young boys. So, they're quite qualified. We're not so qualified. We're not unadulterated celibates for thousands and millions of years and performing great austerities, you know, look at our background. So that's why we're not experiencing the wonderful. And they were Brahmavadis. The Brahmavadi is not a sinful person, a very elevated person. They knew the philosophy. They were completely fixed in the platform of Brahmagyana. We're not the body, but look at us. Every time we see an object of the sense gratification walk by, our mind becomes attracted. So we're forgetting that we're not this body all the time. Therefore, we're not qualified yet. But anyway, if we go on with our process, we'll also achieve the same, hopefully, the same result as the Kumaras received. Any other questions? So the word here, Mahatma, great devotees. So the Lord, He empowers His devotees to be guides for others. And this is a mercy of the Lord, that He engages the devotees in preaching. There's nothing more blissful than preaching and helping other conditioned souls get out of the mire. Just imagine, we can see recently there was some difficulties in New Orleans, and many people became inspired to help the others, to save the other souls who were drowning or suffering. It's a natural impulse of the living entity to want to help others, and Krishna consciousness is the perfect way to fulfill that impulse. Para upakar, to give the complete help to save someone once and for all from the ocean of material existence and take them back to home, back to Godhead. That's why Krishna consciousness gives so much satisfaction. How much satisfaction can you get if you give someone a meal and you know that the next day he's going to be again starving? Huh? You'd have to feed him every day. You'd have to make an arrangement for his whole life to feed him. And then you'd be thinking, well, that's only one person, but there's so many starving people. How will I feed all of them? But Krishna consciousness is the best service for every living entity. And it applies to everyone because you're putting water on the root of the tree, and that water or that service is being distributed to all living entities. Suridam Sarvabhutanam. Thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.